Lord, I want to thank you this morning for who you are. You are so amazing. Just the little glimpses I get of you, Lord, it just astounds me. The depths of your love, the depths of your humility. Your ways are just so beyond my earthly mind, Lord, and you just continually and continually surprise me and just awe me with who you are and your character. And I thank you, Lord, that you desire for us to know you so much more intimately than we even want to know you sometimes. And I pray as we look at your word today, you put a hunger in us for you. Because really, this is about having you in a greater way and telling others about you in a greater way. It's not about us. And Lord, so I just pray you'll speak to us through your word this morning. God, anoint me. If you don't help me, this is useless. And so I give myself to you. I trust you to speak through me this morning. Let me decrease so you can increase, as John the Baptist said, Lord. And speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm going to read here in Luke 3, verse 21. And we're going to talk this morning about the church, the body of Christ, and why it is so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at Jesus to start. Verse 21. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." And then in chapter 4, it says, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit." And I'm going to just stop there, and we're going to come back to the text later. And I'm going to look briefly at Acts chapter 4 and just talk about this filling of the Holy Spirit that Jesus needed, obviously, before he began his ministry. Acts 4, verse 31, it says, "The apostles had prayed, and the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart, of one soul. Neither did any say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon all of them." All of them, all the people that were there. Great grace for what? Great power for what? To tell people about Jesus. To share the gospel. That is our great commission. That is what the church is called to do. That's what our lives should be taken up with. So it says they were filled with the Spirit. We see a lot of different references to this in the book of Acts. Jesus said in Acts 1:5, "John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from hence." Acts 2:4, as they were there in the upper room, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In Acts 4:8, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost as he's preaching this powerful sermon, said to them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel," and he goes on to just preach this powerful sermon, and the people are just cut to heart, and 3,000 people are saved. Then in Acts 6:3, we see as the church is being established, they're seeking out for themselves men to serve, men of honest report, but also men full of the Holy Ghost. That was a qualification, full of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 7, Stephen, as he's being stoned, it says, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Acts 9, when Ananias entered the house where Paul was, he put his hands on Brother Paul and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared to you in the way you came has sent me that you might receive sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we see many other instances of that. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you think about that. I know in my drinking days, what happens when you drink? What happens when you're intoxicated? You lose control. I heard one guy say, if you're a jerk, you become a bigger jerk. If you're an angry person, you become more angry. The opposite of that is being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Controlled. So we could say it that way. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, all Christians have the Holy Spirit, but its filling is another matter. The indwelling of the Spirit isn't for a select few believers. The Holy Spirit is a gift. It's given to all believers without exception. There's no conditions except faith in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is given to us. It's kind of a down payment. God sets his seal upon us. But it's in contrast to the filling of the Holy Spirit. We should be so completely yielded to the Holy Spirit that he can possess us fully. And in that sense, fill us. When people are filled with the Holy Spirit, God's hand is on everything they do. Who wants that? Who wants God's hand on everything they do? I do. They preach in power. Their testimonies bring great conviction. Their service builds up the body of Christ. Conversely, years of toil without the Holy Spirit's filling is futile. Be filled with the Spirit. This is a command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, but what does that look like? Well, sometimes there's special mighty visitations, like a rushing mighty wind, floods outpoured, the baptism of fire. Other times it's like a fountain springing up from within, quietly streaming forth. We got to be very careful about following other people's experiences and putting God in a box. The Holy Spirit will come however he wants to come. I've been in services where no one says a word. It's quiet. And the Holy Spirit works powerfully. I've been in other services where there's a lot going on. And God's moving powerfully there as well. But I've seen those two things where he's not working. It's just flesh. But when the Holy Spirit is there and he's working, it will be evident. It will be evident. Either way, we are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we are, it says right in that Acts 4, that great power and great grace will be upon us all. Jesus said, my words are spirit and their life. We need God's spirit and power in our words. He has anointed us all to preach the gospel. All of us. And the Holy Spirit enables us to be of one heart and of one soul. One thing we see in the early church is they loved one another. They were of one heart, one mind, one soul. The greatest manifestation to me of being full of the Holy Spirit is love. Because you can have everything else. If you have not love, it profits you nothing. I'm going to teach more on that to come. But this is what it says. I mean, Paul encourages us in 1 Corinthians 12:31, we should earnestly desire the best gifts, but I show you a more excellent way. And he says, 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become like sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, though I have all faith to remove mountains, but have not love, I have nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And we see what gives joy to the heart of God in Philippians 2, where it says in verse 1, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection of mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That same kind of description we see many times in the book of Acts. Well, what produces that? It's the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And when we're full of the Holy Spirit, we're full of God's love. There's one mind. There's one heart. There's unity. There's blessing there. Jesus said in John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, one thing I notice is before his disciples were full of the Holy Spirit, they bickered a lot. And Peter, you know, right away says, Lord, where are you going? Jesus said, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me after. Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. And here's the problem. Peter is saying something he can't do in his own flesh. And Jesus understands it. And he says, will you, Peter? Will you lay your life down for me? And again, it's a picture of trying to do what we're called to do without the Spirit's help. Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Peter, you don't understand yet how much you really need me. You're going to have to go through a process so I can get you out of the way, your own strength, and get you to a place where you're going to learn where your help comes from. He needed to be full of the Holy Spirit to love as Jesus loved, to lay his life down. And not be afraid. Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, said as they were stoning him, Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. You can't do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit if we are going to fulfill the Great Commission. If this church is going to operate the way God wants it to operate, we all are going to need to be full of the Holy Spirit. We can't produce what only God can produce. Listen to what Duncan Campbell said, a pastor from, I don't know when he left, a long time ago. Duncan Campbell served as a respected pastor for 17 years, but saw minimal spiritual fruit. Finally, when he could stand it no longer, he cried out to God. He begged for his manifest presence in his life. After crying out to God for hours, God suddenly answered his prayer at 5 o'clock in the morning. Campbell later recalled, as I lay there, God, the Holy Ghost, and again, this is important, the Holy Ghost is a person. He is a he. He is the Godhead. He is part of the Godhead. He's not an it. He's not a thing. He is God. God, the Holy Ghost, came upon me. Wave after wave came rolling over me until the love of God swept through me like a mighty river. From that point onward, God used Campbell in revival wherever he went. Only after he became desperate to be filled with the Spirit did he see his walk with God raised to an entirely new level. So, how does this happen? So let's go back now to Luke, because we're going to look at Jesus, who in Luke 3 and Luke 4 here is beginning his ministry. We're going to learn some things from wonderful Jesus. So let me read again, verse 21, chapter 3. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, and Luke's the only one that accounts for him praying. And so as I was studying it, I was like, well, what was Jesus praying? What was he saying to his Father? It says, while he prayed, the heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased. So obviously, John, we see before this, is kind of like, what are you talking about, Jesus? You don't need to be baptized. Jesus had no sin. So obviously, Jesus wasn't getting baptized because he needed to repent of sin like the other sinners were, right? What was he doing? Well, we read in Matthew 3:15, why? Because he says to John, who's kind of like, Lord, you know, this isn't right. And Jesus said, permit it now to be so, for this is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So that's the other count there in Matthew. So, you know, Jesus came to fulfill the law. He came to do what we couldn't do. And what, there's a lot of different pictures here of what's going on, but part of a priest, Jesus is our high priest, and part of the ceremonial law for a priest before he entered into his service was to be washed with water, was to be cleansed. And Jesus was being obedient when he went for baptism, which is a picture of the cleansing and the new birth as he entered into his office of high priest. He was being obedient to all the ordinance of God for our sake. So shouldn't we? Shouldn't we follow him likewise? And God made something so real to me this morning, and it was one of those times where Jesus, you are amazing. I love you so much. You are so humble. I just want to be like you. Because here's God, who is holy beyond what we understand, pure, but yet here he is, identifying with us. And it says in Philippians that he took the form of a bondservant, and he came in the likeness of men. Do you know what that means? Well, it tells us in Romans 8:14, it says, what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Do you understand the depths? God stepped down out of his glory, out of his place in glory, to become in the likeness of us. Become that lamb that would ultimately take our sin to the cross, the perfect sacrifice. And here he is fulfilling everything and gladly doing it, humbling himself, not grasping on to his glory or his position, but humbling himself, becoming in the likeness of us. And even the death on a cross, in other words, a criminal's death, even though he was innocent. Oh, how unlike him we are so many times. We protest or we are innocent. You know, we fight for our innocence. Jesus didn't do that. And he was praying, Father, again, I don't know what he was praying, but Father, here I am, Father. This body was prepared for your will, and Father, in front of all these people, let it be known that I am your obedient servant, and I am here now to fulfill your mission for me. So, Father, grant me the Holy Spirit. Give me the power. Give me the grace, since I'm in human form, to fulfill and carry out your mission for me. Jesus could have never went through what he went through without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's physically impossible. It's impossible. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it says in chapter 4, verse 1, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So let me just say here, we pray, we sing, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Have you repented? Have you been washed in the blood? Have you truly come to Calvary? Have you forsaken your sins? You can't sing that while you're pursuing sin and unrepentant. Because Jesus is modeling for us the first step. Repent and be baptized. Be cleansed from your sin. And walk in newness of life. Crucify the old man. Be baptized into your death and rise up in newness of life. Make a 180. That's what baptism tells the world. I am a sinner. I am repenting of my sin. I am believing and trusting in God alone to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And when I go under this water, my life is over. And when I come up, I am going to walk in the newness of life that God has promised me. So have you done that? That's step one. And then Jesus shows us other things that need to be evident in our lives if we want to be full of the Holy Spirit. Because he goes on now, led, so expect. In other words, you are entering into war. Once you give your life to Christ, he tells Timothy, you've been enlisted. And guess who's coming for you? Your adversary, the devil. Because he doesn't want you fulfilling God's mission, just like he didn't want Jesus to fulfill God's mission in your life. So expect the devil to come at you, and we're going to have what Jesus had. And we're going to see here. It goes on. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. Afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. Just practical, right? Hadn't eaten for it. He was hungry. And I don't know about you, but hunger is a picture of intense physical desire. But it's also a need. You die after a while if you don't eat. He was hungry. And the devil said, if you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So the second thing, if you want to be full of the Holy Spirit, You have to resolve that I am going to live by the every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I am going to deny my fleshly appetites. I am going to submit my members and my body for his will and for his glory. Job said this in Job 23:12. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than necessary food. So do you treasure God's word like that, more than the strongest fleshly desires you can think of? I know for me, food's pretty powerful, especially if I haven't eaten in 40 days. Could I still say, no, all I need is the word of God? Your word is my food, Jesus said. In John 4:32, he said, I have food to eat of which you don't know, because disciples were like, he must be hungry, you know. Has anyone brought anything for him to eat? And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So are you prepared to deny yourself and to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? That's what Jesus did. Okay, then the devil took him up on a high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, all their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Third thing, you need to choose who you're going to worship. If you're serving two gods, don't expect to be filled. You have to settle that in your heart. Jesus said, you can't have two masters. I lived my Christian experience that way, and there was no power in my life. There was no power to overcome sin. I was still dominated by things. And I remember thinking, well, I guess this Christian thing just doesn't work for me. But I was serving God, two gods. I wanted what the devil was offering me from the world, but I also wanted God. Really, I just didn't want to go to hell. And I was trying to serve two masters. We are called as the church, as God's called out ones, to be separate from this world. Again, you can't be living for the world and expect to be filled. And it's a heart issue. It's not about things I do on the outward. It's about where is your heart? Because God sees your heart. He knows what you live for. He knows what you really worship in your heart. And it will show in different ways. By the things you talk about, by the things you make time for, by things that are priorities in your life, by things you look to when you're tired or when you're weary. You know, what are you looking to fill you up? Is it the Holy Spirit or is it something from this world that you think you gotta have? That the devil's saying, hey, come over here, worship me. I'll give you what your flesh wants. And our reply needs to be, I will worship the Lord God and him alone. You have to decide. I have to decide. Who will you worship? Okay, then going on, he brought him to Jerusalem and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple and he said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't tempt the Lord. And really, I'll say it this way. You need to walk by faith, not by sight. You need to walk by faith, not by sight. Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy 6:16. And it says there, you shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him at Massa. Well, how did they tempt him at Massa? You know what they said? And it was because, in their minds, God wasn't taking care of them. You know what they said? Is God really among us? We're out here in the wilderness. We have no water. We have no food. Is God really with us? You ever say those words like, God, where are you? Give me a sign. Prove yourself to me. You say you're good. Why am I going through this? Prove it. That's an evil heart of unbelief. That's not faith. Doubting God's goodness and kindness when he's given us so many evidences of how much he loves us. I mean, just look at the cross. He just delivered them out of Israel. He just defeated the mightiest nation in the world. And the minute they get into the wilderness, they're saying, is he really with us? What? You know, we look at that and we're pretty hard on the Israelites, but we do the same thing in many ways. He saved me. I was on my way to hell. I deserved it. He stepped into my life. He revealed himself to me. I embraced what he did for me, his death. He cleansed me of my sin. He gave me his Holy Spirit. I remember when it happened. I knew he saved me. I knew I had been translated from darkness to light. What else do I want? So what if I have to suffer here? I have eternal life. So what if I have to deny myself? So what if he has to bring me through a sifting process so he can better get a hold of me and work through me? So what? My Father loves me. Therefore, he disciplines me. I know I'm loved. I don't want to tempt him by doubting his love for me. What a slight to my Heavenly Father. What a slight to Jesus. He doesn't have to do one thing for me. He doesn't have to prove himself to me. That's why Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. When I heard of your faith, I didn't cease to pray for you that you would be rooted and grounded in the knowledge of his love. That you would know the hope of your calling. You have to know these things. You have to believe God. Don't doubt God's love and kindness towards you. Have faith in God and his promises to you. And then simply ask him to fill you. If you're doing all those things, just ask him to fill you. Ask him to give you what you don't have in yourself so you can glorify him, so you could tell people about him. Because that's what it's all about. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have from God, that you're not your own? You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Glorify him in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And then in Luke 11, verse 9, Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. And here's where it boils down to really just believing God wants to give you his Holy Spirit, that he wants to fill you, that he wants to fill you to overflowing. He's not satisfied to have a little place in you. He wants to fill you with all of his fullness. That is his desire. That is his heart. And it's not for you. It's so that you can tell people about him. It's so that he can use your life to glorify him. We make it too much about us sometimes. We just want a nice feeling or something. I mean, that'll come. I mean, I love God's presence. There's joy in God's presence. Nothing wrong with that. But this is about you giving your vessel for his use. It's about God using you. That's what we're here for. And we need the Holy Spirit for that. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit to be effective. We just do. So ask. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, I mean, that's not nice. Jesus wasn't always politically correct. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? How much more? Therefore, Mark 11, it says, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So, again, you have to believe that God has this for you. If you don't, you're not going to receive it. I mean, if you've done all the other, you really just got to, by faith, believe that, yeah, he wants this for me. He wants to fill me with his Holy Spirit. He wants me to be full of the Holy Spirit. D.L. Moody said this, I think it is clearly taught in Scripture that every believer has the Holy Ghost dwelling in him. He may be quenching the Spirit of God. He may not be glorifying God as he should. But if he is a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in him. Though Christian men and women have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, yet he is not dwelling within them in power. In other words, God has a great many sons and daughters without power. And that's all across the board. And I think it's mostly because we're not doing the first things. So I don't care what kind of church you're in. If you're not doing the first things, there's going to be no power there. There's going to be no Holy Spirit. I don't care what's on your door. We can't be lovers of the world. We can't be unconsecrated. We can't be choosing and living in sin and expect to have the Holy Spirit moving and working in our lives. It might be another spirit, but it ain't going to be God's spirit. The Holy Spirit in us is one thing, and the Holy Spirit on us is another. We all need it, the filling of the Holy Spirit. We all need it together, and let us not rest day and night until we possess it. If that is the utmost thought in our hearts, God will give it to us if we hunger and thirst for it and say, God helping me, I will not rest until endued with power from on high. I pray that way every morning, because it's especially today. I mean, really, it's every day. But I get it. I understand. I've been through enough sifting like Peter to know I don't have love for people. My words cannot convince anyone who God is, their need for him. My prayers can't do anything if God isn't in it and working and bringing forth the increase. So before I leave the house, it's God, I need your Holy Spirit. God, I get right whatever I got to get right. I remind myself that this day is not my own. It's not about what I want to do. Lord, I am open to you. This vessel is yours to do with whatever you want, Lord. So use me, God. Fill me with your Spirit. Let your love, let your power overflow out of my life today. Let me be open however you want to open my mouth and use me to speak to someone that needs to hear your glorious gospel. The disciples of Jesus were all filled with the Spirit, and the Word of God was proclaimed. And when the Spirit of God comes down upon a church and we are anointed, the word of God will be proclaimed. Not in here, although we do, but mainly out there. The word will be proclaimed in the streets, in the lanes, in the alleys. There won't be a dark cellar or a dark attic, nor a home where the gospel will not be carried by some loving heart. If the Spirit comes upon God's people in demonstration and in power. So that's what we're after. That's what we're thirsting and seeking God for. Himself. Because it's His Spirit. And it's to allow Him to use our lives the way He wants to use them. It's so that He can be glorified through us. But we have to take our place with sinners. We have to repent. We have to surrender our lives to Him once we've been cleansed. We have to determine that we are going to live by every word. And here it is. It's right here. It's not some voice. It's right here. It's written down for us. By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We have to choose daily who we're going to worship. What am I worshiping today? Is it God or mammon? What is it? And if you're not sure, you should pray, God, search me, try me, see if there's anything in me, any wicked way, anything I'm worshiping other than you. God, show me. Get that thing out into the light. And then just simply believe God. First and foremost, that He loves you. That's like so important. You have to believe simply what He says about who you are and what He has done in Christ, and you're standing before Him. And you should never doubt that. And don't let the devil convince you otherwise. No, He loves me. He died for me. I don't doubt that at all. I don't care what's going on right now. He loves me. I trust Him. I believe Him. He's faithful. And He wants to give me Himself in a greater way. He wants me to have everything He has promised me to have. And I believe Him and I want it. So here I am, Lord. It's me, Jeff. Open the door. But you know the example? I love the example Jesus gives. I need bread because someone's come to my house and I don't have what they need. Please open for me, Jesus. I need your Spirit. I don't have what this person needs. I need bread. That's why. Lord, I thank you. Oh, God, I thank you. I love you so much. I remember what you did for me. And you just keep reminding me over and over and over again, my life isn't my own. I've been bought with a price. And Lord, it's been such an honor for me to serve you. And I thank you for all the years you've helped me. You've empowered me. You've done things, Lord, I never could have did. But Lord, I can't live on past experiences. I need something now. We need something now, Lord. Your church needs something now. We can't read history and say, oh, well, back then this happened and back then that happened. No, Lord, you're doing something now. You're inviting us now. And it's you creating a hunger, I know, in me, Lord. I'm not satisfied. I want everything you have for me, Lord. I want to love as you love. I want to be free from this flesh, from my own thinking, God. I want you to fully control me. Take hold of my mouth. so that we can rescue precious souls that are so precious to you, just like we were precious to you. So I pray for this body. I pray for all of us. Help us to hunger. Help us to seek you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. We don't have to get hung up on what it looks like and this and that. Lord, all we know is we need you, Lord, and we want our lives to be lived to the fullest and for the glory of God. So I pray, God, as we continue as a body to seek you, Lord, that you will have your way in all of us and invite as many that want to come in. So we thank you. And I just trust you, Lord, to do it your way, in your time, and by your power, and by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.